Hello, and welcome back to the Fruitful Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Zach Huddleston, and thank you for listening. Thank you to everybody I've bumped into in the last week or so that's complimented me on the podcast. I'm sure at least half of them had actually listened, and the other half were just trying to make me feel good, and I'll take it. As always, if you wouldn't mind subscribing to this podcast on iTunes, maybe leave a review. You could like the Facebook page. I'm making a concerted effort to add content to our Facebook fan page. You can just search for Fruitful Podcast and it should be the only thing that comes up. I've been posting some various fruit related content on there. And in addition to whenever the new episodes are out with some photos of the guests, all kinds of fun stuff on the Facebook page. You should totally like it. That's a free thing to do. Yeah. And if you ever have any questions, suggestions, maybe you see a great article or an upcoming garlic fest or something that you want to bring to my attention, feel free to email that to me at fruitfulpodcast@gmail.com. Any suggestions, compliments, concerns, anything you're worried about my blood sugar level after all the fruit I consume on this show, feel free to send me that. But on to today's show. Oh, guys, today's raspberries. They're the third most popular berry in the United States for fresh use, after strawberries and blueberries. So, suck it, cranberries. Nobody loves you. And blackberries aren't on there. Well, that's a topic for another day. The United States is the world's third largest producer of raspberries, with most of the production concentrated in Washington, Oregon, and my lovely adopted home state of California. In the rap battles of the 90s, I think it's pretty clear raspberries would have sided with Tupac over Biggie. They're a clear West Coast berry. In 2010, California raised 81 million pounds of raspberries. Wow. Valued at over $200 million. For comparison, in 2010, I was working a low-level office job for about $36,000 a year. So, point to raspberries. Like other berries, the United States doesn't produce enough raspberries to satisfy consumer demand, so we import fresh raspberries from November through May, mostly from Mexico. Though, much of the berries we import in the summer come from Canada. Yeah! So thank you, NAFTA. Really, thank you, NAFTA. Today's guest on the podcast is Colleen Doyle, brilliant actress, improviser, instructor, and just a lovely person. If you've ever met her, you'll 100% agree. She teaches improv classes currently at the Westside Comedy Theater and independently, and she performs in a bunch of live shows, though often she performs with her partner, Jason Schatz, in a two-person show called Dummy. And I probably will say this every episode for all of my guests, but I really mean it now. I mean it in all the episodes. I take that back. But like, really, I could not endorse Dummy hard enough. They are just a beautiful, lovely show. Even if you don't like improv or comedy or fun, they will melt your icy heart and make you laugh. So seek them out. And they travel all over the world. They get flown to Denmark and Poland and far flung regions of the world to perform and teach. They're that talented. I met and worked with Colleen at the IOS Theater here in Los Angeles up until it closed. We were both manning that steering wheel right until the ship was underwater. But you know, one of the best things that came out of my experience at that theater was getting to know Colleen. She's a real peach of a person, and I'm plumb excited to have her on this berry episode. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. Fruitful! Okay, great. Well, welcome, Colleen Doyle.
Thank you so much.
The name of the podcast is Fruitful.
Oh, that's great.
Which is what I hope the conversation will be.
We'll see.
And what our tummies will be. Full of fruit.
Great.
How do you feel about tummy versus other names for stomach?
Tummy feels a little gross.
Yeah. Yeah. Childish.
Yeah, but I'm not opposed to it.
Okay.
It doesn't bum me out.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. Because I might infantilize some other thing. Like I like to call myself a little piggy boy. I'm a glutton.
Well, then you're just on brand.
Okay.
With tummy. Yeah,
right.
It's fine.
Okay, great. Something kind of infantile about fruit. Like a lot of baby foods are.
Oh yeah.
Like bananas and stuff like that. Like
yeah. Fruit is the food for children. 100%.
Or weirdo adults.
Yeah.
All of the above. So I like to start by asking people what their relationship is like with fruit.
Oh, you know, when you just said babies and kids, I used to eat baby food, not only when I was a baby, but I ate baby food in high school and I ate baby food in
college. Part of a dare?
No. And this wasn't like the heavy stuff. This wasn't like the squash and your et cetera's. This was like the purees with like banana and apple. And I liked it. And it's so cheap. You know, and maybe it's not anymore, but it used to be able, you could get like a little jar for 60 cents. And I used to run cross country and like other people had their other things that they would eat or their little rituals. And mine was to eat a tiny jar of baby food.
Wow.
I like fruit. Oh, and I also like fruit as part of a dessert, like not a dumb fruit plate that everyone hates. But I like pie. Like I like fruit pies. I'm much more of like a fruit, like a jelly donut or then a chocolate.
Fruit flavoring kind of. And fruit is an element in a larger dish. What's your favorite kind of pie?
Strawberry rhubarb.
Strawberry. You know what? I'm ashamed to admit, I don't think I've ever had a strawberry rhubarb pie.
Well, that means you have a lot to look forward to.
I do.
Yeah. It's because it's sour and sweet. Yeah. It's both. It's really good. I mean, rhubarb looks like just celery that something bad happened to it.
Yeah.
So you're like, that's probably not going to be great. It's my favorite.
Rhubarb is also one of those things that like, I think if you don't cook it right, it's poison.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Which is great. I like that the first person who ate it died. And then they're like, we got to keep working on this.
Yeah. It wasn't just like, let's avoid it. It was, let's keep going.
There's got to be a way. This red celery has potential.
It's like a lot of people in improv.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're terrible naturally.
Yeah. You're naturally, this is not going to work out.
Yeah.
But let's just swim upstream
just
for as long as we can.
Put in a couple thousand more bucks, 2-3 more years of twice weekly work.
Yep.
And maybe you'll be passable.
Absolutely.
Maybe you'll be an obscure pie.
Yeah.
Obscure pies might be a good.
That's a pretty good name. I think someone should take it and then definitely write to you. Is it fruitful@gmail.com?
It should be.
Well, we'll see.
Let's see if I can get it first. I should have thought of that before I started the podcast. How do you feel about cobblers?
I like a cobbler. I think it's a little too sweet for me.
Oh.
I don't veer. I think that's why I like more fruit-based desserts because, like, I'm not like a French silk. You know, like Thanksgiving and some buffoon will bring, I don't know if people know Baker Square in the Midwest, but it was like a diner, but they had tons of pies. So usually some boner and my stepdad's family would bring like a French silk pie from Baker Square for Thanksgiving. And I was like, you asshole. This was $6. I veered off topic. But cobblers are a little bit too sweet. Like there's a lot going on, right? There's like a cream in there. Is it ever? No, maybe I'm thinking of something else.
Well, it's a broad category.
Yeah.
My impression of cobbler is usually it's kind of like a crustless fruit pie. Like peach cobbler is very popular in the South. And that's just like, you know, wedges of peach kind of cooked in the syrupy, cinnamony thing that like a pie would be. And usually there's like maybe a crumble of some kind
maybe
on the top.
Maybe the crumble is the turnoff point for me. Because when you say just like the filling of a pie, I'm on board.
Yeah.
Like I like when I was a kid, my mom would buy Stouffer's like scalloped apples, which is supposed to be a side dish. Mm-hmm. And that's all I would want.
Well, you guys had Cracker Barrel in Ohio,
right? We surely did, yeah.
That was always a go-to side dish. You get those baked apples at Cracker Barrel.
I would just eat that. Like that's, and I don't need like the crust of a pie normally, except if it's key lime. Maybe I should just go back to cobblers.
You only eat the crust if it's key lime?
No, sorry. No, I eat the crust of a pie. But usually, unless you've got a really great pie, right? You've got that very standard, it's just to hold it.
Yeah.
It's holding it.
Often, yeah.
Except I love the, what is that? That's a key lime pie. It's very, like a graham cracker crust.
Oh, yeah.
Or whatever it
Those
is, right?
Good. Yeah.
That's my favorite. Crust.
Yeah. I go back and forth on crust because You're absolutely right. Often it's just like cardboard then there to be a vessel for the filling. And then sometimes it goes in the opposite direction. Maybe somebody did like a nice homemade crust, but it's like they got on the bottom and then the lattice work on the top.
Oh, yeah.
And there's not enough middle. And it's you're mostly eating a big old mouthful of dry crust.
That's
and you're like,
problem.
I'm going to need some ice cream. I'm going to need some cream, some whipped cream here to moisture even out.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. I love a homemade that lattice. Yeah. I think the problem is when I'm having pie, it's either like, I feel like it's either like just an afterthought and it's not good. You know, like a cheap pumpkin pie, like when you get it from the grocery store at Thanksgiving. Usually the crust that I like are just like full of butter. It's just lard and butter. So maybe there's just some shame there too. Where I'm like, I know I shouldn't be doing this, but I am.
Yeah. There's something bad. Like my mom, who like as a later adult, like in her 40s and 50s, kind of got healthy, lost a bunch of weight, kind of had been dieting for a lot of her adult life. But then I remember we kind of shared that in common of like trying to eat good or whatever. And we kind of connected over that. And I remember her telling me one time, she's like, you know, I've gotten to the point in my life where I think I've had my last Oreo. Oh. This is like, I don't need another Oreo.
Wow.
You know, and she'll enjoy if we go to a nice restaurant and they have like, you know, a pastry chef or it's going to be a great, or, you know, you're over at somebody's home and they've baked something, but she's like, I've eaten Oreos. Yeah. I don't need those again. Yeah. Right. And like, I can kind of relate to that. Now on the opposite side. Yeah. Sometimes you want a nasty grocery store pumpkin pie.
Sometimes that's all you get.
There's a certain kind of self-hate, self-love involved there, but I can also relate to it of like, not needing more of that.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, I do think, is it worth the calories? Like, is this like low rent version of something that I actually do want? Mm. Is that worth? I was thinking of, so living in Echo Park, there's Bright Spot right on Sunset there, and they have tons of pies.
It's kind of like a cool diner.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's a great diner. I mean, it's all food that's for sure going to kill you. But I was just thinking about it the other day because I was like, well, if I'm going to have a piece of pie, I want to get it from Bright Spot. Like, I'm not going to go to Vaughn's local grocery store. Yeah. But yeah, I think about like, let's enjoy it.
Yeah. Did you watch Michael Pollan had that Netflix series? I think it was might have just been called Food or What We Eat or something like that. But there was just like a little clip of like this guy. I think he was a nutritionist or a food scientist or something like that. And he just had this quote that he's like, you know, people ask me what they should eat. Like, can I eat cookies? Can I eat cake or whatever? And he's like, yeah, you can eat whatever you want. You just have to make it from scratch. Like, if you want to eat like, you know, Bananas Foster or pie a la mode or whatever, great. Make the ice cream, make the pie,
my God.
And then you can eat to your heart's delight.
Maniac.
And it's like, and now I don't do that because I don't bake at all. And, you know, but I do think about that. And I'm like, it's a good point.
It is.
Because you would eat a lot less cookies if you had to make the fucking cookies from scratch, you know?
I mean, that's such a great natural way of just taking things out of your diet that you shouldn't have anyway. Because what's the easiest thing to do is to grab an apple and eat an apple, right? Yeah. There's a lot more time and energy put into things that aren't good.
Now, granted, we could call shit on that guy and be like, well, I didn't make this apple. You want me to plant a tree?
Oh, my God.
And then wait 10 years?
What is his email address?
Smartfoodasshole@gmail.com. How dare you? Okay, great. And then do you have any – today we're eating raspberries. I have three different types of raspberry.
I didn't even know that was a thing. I'm very excited.
Yeah. Do you have any specific relationship, memory, anything attached to raspberries?
Well, the only thing that it really evokes for me is when I was a kid growing up in Cleveland, there's this huge outdoor market called the West Side Market. Part of it's indoor, part of it's outdoor, but it's all produce. It's basically a year-round farmer's market. And raspberries was just one of the things that we would never get because they were maybe a quarter more expensive per pint than anything else. So I think raspberries always felt kind of forbidden to me. I think as a kid, it was just like, oh, all you're gonna do is smush them and eat them and not like them. And it's not worth the cost to feed my children raspberries. So they seem like exotic and, and exciting.
Yeah. And I think I didn't experience like raw fresh raspberries almost at all. Mm-hmm. And to me, it was like raspberry was like, a flavor of jam or more so like a filling in a pastry or something like that. And usually it was a less desirable It's like, I'll just take strawberry. Right. You know, like it's usually like kind of like the shittier right. strawberry flavoring.
Yeah.
But then like as an adult, when I started, and I think, you know, some advancements in agriculture have like improved the price and the availability yeah. and the quality too, yeah. and international trade. Cause like a lot of the months of the year we get good raspberries from like Chile and Mexico and stuff like that.
Those days are numbered. Enjoy your raspberries while you got them, folks.
They're closing that border for the good fruit.
Absolutely.
They're separating good fruit from its children.
from my mouthful. How dare they?
Yeah. And so like, I've certainly like learned to appreciate it. And I was just actually in the strawberries episode, we were chatting about this, that like probably if I want to like treat myself mm-hmm. in a produce aisle, I might grab that carton. That might be my go-to.
Yeah.
A little nice fresh raspberry. And doesn't
it feel like kind of a treat? I mean, yeah. I'm not trying to foist my thing on you, but it feels like, oh, this is a special thing for me.
Yeah.
Like my boyfriend loves blackberries. And so sometimes as a treat, I'll bring home a pint of blackberries. I'm like, you're welcome.
Yeah.
We're 11 years in. So that's the top of the mountain. So
that's nice that you're even... that you even get produce for your partner.
Sure. Well, yeah, it's accessible, right?
Yeah.
So when you're cruising down the produce aisle, you're like, this is something he might enjoy. Yeah.
And like, I feel the way about raspberries as I do about like, maybe like a good fig, mm-hmm. sometimes dates if you're into that mood or whatever, of like, it's a treat. They're sweet. They almost have like a candy-like quality or a pastry-like quality, but less guilt.
Yeah.
Because it's fresh fruit. It's ostensibly good for you, you know.
I don't believe in fruit guilt. Yeah. Like when people do like keto or what Atkins or whatever, and they're like, yeah, you can't eat fruit. I'm like, what are you talking about? You can't eat fruit. That's crazy to me. That's not in God's plan.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I mean, you know what else wasn't in God's plan?
What's that?
Forbidden fruit.
Ah, 10-4. Yeah.
Certain apples were not cool.
You know, you're right. Oh my God. It's true. It's true.
Isn't that messed up that like original sin involved tree fruit?
Fruit? Yeah. What message is that sending?
Of all the things to sin over.
That's insane.
You can't get kids to eat apples already.
Yeah.
And now you're going to associate that with.
That was the downfall of the whole enterprise.
And you know that whatever that apple was or that fruit that they picked off that tree, like. It wasn't even like a Honeycrisp apple.
Oh, no.
It wasn't even.
This one
even,
was garbage like a crab apple.
Oh, like a school lunch apple. Yes. Just like, oh, mealy. Not that sweet.
Not worth
Adam
it.
Adam takes a bite and he's like, not worth it. Yeah.
I guess, is that supposed to be the point of the whole story too? Not worth it.
Not worth it. Should have held out for a forbidden sandwich or maybe a forbidden fruit pie.
Oh, please rewrite it.
Okay, done. Plenty of other guys have taken a swipe at rewriting the Bible.
Sure they have.
There's some the scuttling that might be audible is my dog going nuts on himself. Speaking of going nuts on ourselves, maybe now's a good time. We can take a break and eat some raspberries. So the three kinds I have are I have kind of a regular routine red raspberry. Sorry.
Okay.
I didn't realize I bought all three of these at a local Albertsons grocery store. Because they have them in farmers markets right now, but I was like, oh, if I want a variety.
Yeah.
Anyways, I probably regret that. I should have gone to a farmers market. But a regular red raspberry, which not until I got home did I realize they're from Mexico.
Oh.
Which is, I have no problem with the country of Mexico, but it's a shame because we grow so many good raspberries here in California.
That is interesting,
I try
isn't
to buy local when I can. But
support your local economy.
Yes.
100%.
We need to. I wish the local economy would support me a little bit more.
We really need to look into that.
Let's see. Yeah. See if we can get that trickle down and trickle down on me.
100%.
And then I got some organic red strawberries.
Okay, great.
From the conglomerate Driscoll's. And those are grown here in California.
Yeah, Driscoll's is a big, huge, right?
Yeah, I think they control the bulk of the raspberry market, like something like 90% or something like that.
Yeah.
I think they're all processed in Watsonville, California, which is like central California. And then my third type that I got was a sunshine raspberry.
All new. That's brand new to me.
Yeah, it was new to me as well. So I guess there are red raspberries that we all associate with raspberries. And then there's a variety called a golden raspberry.
Okay.
It's a naturally occurring just kind of yellow raspberry. It's a slightly different flavor, and it's obviously yellow instead of red. And this is a cross breed between yellow and red. So it has kind of an iridescent white-pink kind of a look to it.
And this is available at your local grocery
They have them
store?
At Albertsons. Really? Yeah. I think it might not be, you know, probably not as year-round available as a red raspberry, but they had them, so I had to grab them. Then you were kind enough to bring some farmer's market strawberries.
Well, that's just for your private time. That's for personal use.
The mics are off and the feet are up.
That's right.
Daddy needs some strawberry time. But we're going to break. We'll try the different kinds of raspberries, and we'll come back and report on our findings. Hey, it's me, Zach, just popping back in from the studio after recording with some mid-episode facts and figures for you. Raspberries have 53 calories per 100 grams, and 100 grams for us Americans is about 3.5 ounces. So those little clamshells you buy usually have about 6 ounces, so maybe double that number. The serving size has about 4 grams of sugar and almost 7 grams of fiber. 7 grams of fiber. That's a lot. I think the USDA recommends you get 25 grams in a day. So if you eat a big old thing of raspberries, baby boy, you're on your way. Raspberries are also pretty high in vitamin C and manganese, which is one of the most fun nutrients to say out loud. And speaking of fun words to say, raspberries also have anthocyanins, carotenoids, and other phytochemicals. All of those things might be really good for your health. You know, the science is still working to figure out how everything works, but they're probably really good for you, especially if you own a lot of crystals or have more than 2 political bumper stickers on the back of your Volkswagen, because the placebo effect is real. Oh, a quick fact check. Rhubarb. You know what? I slandered rhubarb a little bit. Turns out you can eat the stalks of a rhubarb plant raw. It's not poison. It may not taste great, but it's not poison. The leaves of the rhubarb plant, however, are definitely toxic. They have a nephrotoxin in them. And that's why you'll never see rhubarb sold with the leaves, because rhubarb sales people ain't no dummies. There's a little bit of that toxin in the stalks, but not enough to do any damage. Also, fact check, there was a little bit of discussion about cobblers. And in addition to being somebody who makes shoes, in the 1400s. It's also a dish. This is from Wikipedia. It's a dish consisting of a fruit or savory filling poured into a large baking dish and covered with a batter, biscuit, or dumpling before being baked. That's the cobbler I know and love, usually with peaches in there. It was a staple of barbecue restaurants or picnics in the South where I grew up, and everybody should be doing it. It's a lazy person's pie, basically, which is pie and being lazy are 2 things I can get behind. Okay, that's enough for me. I'll be back at the end of the episode with more kind of facts and corrections and fun little tidbits and details. Let's get back to the episode and back to some raspberry talk. But the organic ones are all like perfectly shaped, firm, uniformly red. They look like clip art raspberries.
Yeah, they do.
Almost.
Yeah. I mean, I'd say, again, I guess this is just me on my high horse, but, you know, I think there's also, you know, there's all these companies now that do like ugly produce and ugly fruit and everything. I mean, I think that, you know, you and I were saying that maybe the organic, because it's organic and it might, whatever the shelf life of, right? So maybe they're not ripening to the exact same, you know, the conventional ones get to ripen all the way because they're full of chemicals and the other ones don't. And it just kind of bums me out. Like, I would love to see, I think as Americans, we're just not used to seeing fruit that doesn't look exactly perfect. And so that's what leads to all that like waste and I cannot even imagine what Driscoll's tosses.
Oh,
blows
my
mind.
Yeah. Well, and maybe a lot of that becomes jams or juice.
You know
something.
What? You're glass half full, and I like that. Yes.
That's right.
It went to fruit heaven, jam.
Well, and I also have to say, I don't know if I've ever told you this. We worked together for a long time, but did I ever mention I have a master's degree in agricultural economics?
You never said it like that.
Okay. So all that is to say, and that's a degree I've and never used.
Oh man, you got to bring that out more.
Yeah, in conversation and in everything. But I do think a side effect of getting that degree and being in an agriculture college for 2 years was I maybe cut more slack to large agricultural firms than the average person who thinks of a Monsanto or whatever with almost universally negative connotation.
100%.
And I don't think of them as universally positive. And I had some classmates who did because you know, now work for those companies and like, you know, that was their dream. But like, I don't know. I have mixed feelings on both. And I don't, you know, I don't really shop organic almost ever.
Yeah.
Now, some of that is because organic produce can be very expensive.
Right.
I'm half broke, maybe two thirds broke.
by the time this sees the light of day.
Oh, yeah. If it does. I might end up living under a bed like those raspberries. But yeah, I think there's some fair like skepticism to even like the organic movement, right? Like all of it's so complicated. And I kind of just live under the principle of like, if you eat a lot of fruit and vegetables, that's the best you can do, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. You know, I think I read, I mean, anyone could fact check this, but I read a book that came out a long time ago. I got it at a used bookstore, but it was about three vices in America. I think it was drugs, pornography, and weirdly, big scale farming.
Was that Reefer Madness?
Yeah.
The guy who wrote Fast Food Nation.
I believe
Eric
it was.
Schlesinger.
I think that you're right. And you know, I'm probably so full of it. But I guess sometimes when I see Driscoll's, I don't think it was name checked in the book, I don't believe, but they talked about big agriculture in California. And basically that was labor rights abuses, right? That was like immigrants. And so there's a taint on it that I probably just very liberally in both senses apply to big agriculture that might be unfair. What a productive conversation we're having.
No, let's get real. Let's let's make this about more than tiny, delicious raspberries. Yeah. Well, and you know, no industry is without complexity and moral quandaries and stuff like that. I will say, fruit, because it often has to be handpicked, can have some issues. I know that like lots of farmers in Southern California, because so recently it's become harder to get migrant labor that they relied on, they've literally had to convert themselves to different crops that are able to be machine harvested. They literally can't get people to pick their berries and stuff like that. So they are switching what they grow.
Wow.
And they are pro free immigration.
Right.
I also heard, not to name check a podcast on a podcast, but Malcolm Gladwell's Revisionist History. Do you ever listen to that?
I've caught it a couple of times. Yeah.
He, in his most, one of his most recent episodes, he talks about immigration and that, like, I think up until I think the 90s, the border was porous and people would come and go. And because of that, like most Mexican and Central American immigrants come to the U.S., work for a while, and then go back.
Yeah, right. They could sustain themselves through work in the United States and go back.
And they weren't really coming here to live the rest of their lives. Right. They're just coming here to make some money, and then they could go back and buy a house or
invest. He postulate that our tighter borders have actually contributed to? Oh, great.
Yeah, fantastic. That's exactly what he says. Because, like, I think, you know, and he has the numbers that I'm going to butcher, but, like, you know, it used to be like 10 million people would come, but only 3 million people would stay. Mm-hmm. And now only 8 million people can come, but 7 million people stay. Because it's so hard to get back that they don't want to risk it. Whereas you used to be able to, you would come for a strawberry season, work for 3 months, and then you'd go back to Mexico for 9 months. But now when you get over here, it's so hard. And because the borders are tough, you have to pay a coyote a lot of money and you risk death in the desert. And they particularly tightened up the easy places to cross. So now you have to cross the really hard places where, you know, you'll be out in the desert for a week and you might die. So, yeah, it was very interesting to think about it that way. And it is, it's like in economics, they talk about, it's kind of that like water finds its level, you know, and like unintended consequences. Yeah. And you have to think about all that kind of stuff. Like when you really clamp down on one thing, like what's that going to, when you really raise taxes, you're going to give people a lot of incentives to cheat on their taxes.
Right.
And so you have to think about all this stuff.
Yeah. I just saw a blurb, which is my favorite way of disseminating information, but how climate change is, you know, exacerbating the migrant crisis and talk about, you know, this is the tip of the iceberg. These countries having this crisis and what are you going to do? I mean, it's kind of nice to think about when you just said these have to be picked by hand. It just totally changed the experience for me a little bit of thinking. I never think that way, right? Because there's a lot of stuff that isn't picked by hand, but this, someone touched it and pulled it off a plant very delicately. It's I'm having a real emotional moment.
Oh, that's what I strive for on the
okay,
podcast,
good.
People
well,
to emotionally connect to fruit.
You
when
got
you
there.
Know, like, I'm pretty sure it's this way with raspberries, but I know for a fact it's this way with strawberries. When you buy a clamshell of strawberries in a store, mm-hmm. like literally when they're in the field, they're picking and placing directly into those clamshells.
That's crazy.
Like
that's crazy.
And then, you know, the closed clamshells yeah. then go and they get, you know, they get put into a cold thing to take sure. the field heat off and they might get gassed or whatever,
yeah.
depending on the thing. But
I
like,
did not know that.
But that's it. Like the guy who picked that strawberry is the only like hand to ever
no,
touch it.
Okay. Totally different. Totally.
Isn't that, I mean, it's wild to think that like eating a lunch your mom packed for you.
Yeah.
Except for this was probably a Guatemalan or Mexican man.
That's amazing. Yeah. It's really, it truly blows my mind. I would not have assumed that in the least. No way, no how. And I mean, and like, right? So learning like exactly how many go in there, how could, like delicately closing it. I mean, there's just,
And you think about, I mean, especially with raspberries. And raspberries grow on bushes that I think vary from maybe like, 2 feet to 7 or 8 feet, you know, like almost a short tree at that point.
Can I just sidebar really quickly? Why don't we see, I have never seen a raspberry bush in California. Is it
I
like?
I think a lot of them are not greenhouse, but they're like covered.
Okay.
With like a mesh netting, because I think they're very susceptible to birds.
Oh, sure. Well,
and
yeah. Yes, it makes sense.
And you know, in that way they can kind of control sunlight and stuff like that. But also, I don't think they're not very distinctive. Like you might drive by them and not know the difference between them and maybe like a citrus.
Oh, okay.
Or even like an almond tree or something like that. You know, mm-hmm. they're just kind of like dumpy little bush looking things. They're a brambleberry.
What?
Brambleberry. Isn't that a great name?
That's a great name. It sounds like a cartoon bear.
Yeah. Bramble bear.
Bramble bear. Is that a bear?
It should be.
I'm sorry I interrupted you.
Oh, no. I'm just bullshitting about berries. Were there wild berries in your neck of the woods?
Not to my knowledge. I mean, there was always like, as a kid, it was like, don't eat, you know, there was stuff that looked like blackberries growing near me.
Yeah.
And it was always like, you know, as kids want to do, it was like, it's poison. But when I was a kid, my aunt and uncle used to take me on adventures, I think because they knew I was like an indoor kid for a long time. So they had friends in like the DC, Virginia area that owned their own fruit farm. Oh. So one summer I'm going to guess like 10 or 11 years old. And they came and got me in Cleveland and we drove to Virginia, the most beautiful place, like what am I thinking of? The mountain range?
So the Shenandoah Valley and the Appalachian Mountains or something? Yeah.
The most beautiful place. And they had a small fruit farm. And so one summer for like a week, I picked berries kind of ceremony, like, you know, but I got to pick berries. I had a shirt for a long time that I loved. It was like, I picked berries at so-and-so's farm, but it was great. And it was a family run, like, but it was wonderful. And that was my experience. I just remember it so fondly. That part of the country is so beautiful and there was nothing around them. And then they had this fruit farm and the people who worked there, like they'd come, you know, they'd make dinner and a lot of people from the farm would come and have dinner there. It was an epic time in my life. It was also when Whitney Houston came out, I think her first studio length album. So it was a big time for me.
Isn't that okay? I have a couple thoughts. Okay. That sounds so lovely and idyllic. And like, I would probably as an adult pay thousands of dollars to have that experience. Probably most people would to go like live on a fruit farm for a summer. Like, mm-hmm. God, that sounds, and have them cook dinner on a nightly basis. Ugh, it sounds so lovely. And then too, isn't it funny how we associate memories with specific albums? Like I'll always remember, I think it was Pearl Jam's Vitalogy.
Oh.
One of their lesser albums. But sure. I took a class trip to Italy when I was in 7th or 8th grade. And like, I just remember riding on a bus around like central Italy and like all those beautiful like green hills while listening to a Pearl Jam album, and like how we so associate specific memories and places with music.
Oh, I remember, I was thinking about this the other day. I remember listening to a Ryan Adams album the summer before I moved to Chicago. And it was a very melancholy time in my life. And I cannot, I almost can't listen to Ryan Adams because it just triggers me so much back to that time where I was like, really in the dumps drinking and just bartending and like drinking while I was bartending. And I was like, oh, can't do that again.
Do you ever have that kind of like Pavlovian response, like you were describing with that music, with food?
I'm sure. You know what? Okay, so I'm looking at these raspberries, and I brought you some strawberries from the farmer's market. When I was growing up, my mom would make – I love my mother. She's not – I wouldn't call her in the top 10 world chefs of all time. But
outside
she,
of the top 10.
Okay. She's in the teens at least. But she would get – I haven't seen them lately. She would get like those little angel food cake or shortcakes from the grocery store in the summertime, fresh strawberries and whipped cream.
Yeah.
And that would be a very fun – dessert.
Yeah.
So I associate that 100% with that humid Ohio summer and my mom. And to me, that was like perfect. Yeah. That was perfect in every way, shape, and form was that little like dessert. I'm sure there's a ton of them. I'm sure there's a ton of like emotionally. But again, like my mom didn't cook great. So it was almost more with like again, Stouffer's. I'm just name dropping Stouffer's so much, but like those French bread pizzas. Do you remember those?
Oh, totally. I mean, I think we had similar. You had a working mom.
Yeah.
I had a working mom.
Yeah.
So there wasn't a lot of home cooking from scratch.
Right.
It was a lot of, we did a lot of takeout. We did a lot of KFC and Taco Bell, and then a lot of Stouffer's lasagna, Stouffer's French bread pizzas, Captain Gordon's fisherman, or whatever, right? A lot of that. And I certainly have a ton of, like, fish sticks and watching The Wonder Years sitting on my living room floor kind of memories.
Yeah, yeah. We had a little tiny pizza joint called Papa Joe's. This was way predated Papa John. So, but on Fridays, my mother, my grandmother, my sister and I, that was a big treat. Like we would order Papa Joe's and watch The Golden Girls. And I mean, I did that up until I was like 14 or 15 years old. I wasn't a social butterfly that I am today.
And so this was... four women.
Oh shit!
Watching the Golden Girls.
I literally
a couple generations.
I literally never thought about that until you just said that. It was 100%. We kind of watched like that block, but it was always pretty much for the Golden Girls, and we would eat pizza, and that was like the highlight of my week. It wasn't hanging out with my friends, and it wasn't goofing off. It was exactly that.
Oh, that's such a great memory.
I know, right? And so whenever I'm back in Cleveland, I try to go there, truly. The pizza was awesome, but it was also the same dude works there.
Oh, wow.
He remembers me.
What?
Yeah.
That's
he
incredible.
Asked me how my mom's doing.
Yep. Oh, that's so sweet.
I know.
What a beautiful side product of spending so many years in a place or having roots there.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I'd like to find that out here more, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's harder in Los Angeles. It's such a larger city and a more transient population a little bit, but.
And kind of not having that, like, since I don't have I don't have kids. So I feel like I don't engage in rituals as much or like, you know, and us having kind of like this aimless, more of an aimless lifestyle without a set schedule. I think if I worked 9 to 5, I would be like super amped about whatever I'm going to eat on Friday night.
Yeah.
Right.
I certainly, when I would have a full-time office job, I would think a lot more. Like you start like Thursday afternoon, you start planning your Friday night fancy meal out or whatever. You get reservations.
Yeah.
And now it's not something.
No, because my life is.
That much time thinking about. Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. I have a similar, like there was like a small chain of barbecue restaurants in the town I grew up in Florida called Ken's Barbecue that was great. And like ate there with my family, but then in particular, like maybe starting like junior year of high school, we would either go there after school or skip school or on the weekends and just eat there all the time. And it's still like, I still crave it. And
is it still an operation?
Yeah, it still exists. Though my mom moved away from that town when I was in college.
Yeah.
So I haven't had as many chances to go back and have Ken's Barbecue. But should I be put on death row? I would hope.
I thought that was just a full question. Should I be put on death row? My face probably read, where is this headed? What's happening?
Yeah, the wording on that could have been better.
Just the pause.
Colleen, should I be put on death row?
Wow, this took a turn I did not expect.
I meant it to communicate. If I get put on death row, okay. I would hope that could be my last meal.
Oh, you know it? That's awesome.
Yeah, I think like barbecue ribs from Ken's Barbecue. What would your death row meal be?
I mean, my knee jerk is pizza, and I know that is the most basic.
No, but hey, I don't think it's like, I think, and if you ever read, they have like lists online of what people actually eat for their final meal on death row. Okay. It's dark, but, and you know, the most common food is fried chicken. That might say something about the socioeconomic background of people that get put to death in our country. But I think a lot of it is you don't want lobster and escargot for you don't want the fanciest foods possible.
Unless you're trying to just delay your execution by ordering some.
Or bankrupt the criminal justice system, which is also a valid pursuit.
These are great ways to go down. Like, I want a bunch of crab legs, and it takes you forever to eat them, right?
Yeah. They're not in season. Well, we're going to have to wait till they're in season.
It writes itself.
But like, yeah, people want comfort. Yeah. People want that like meal they remember from sitting on their kitchen floor.
And
or
no
grandma.
Guilt in that last meal. No guilt at all. Like,
oh yeah,
go for it.
It's it was like the most common foods were fried chicken, ice cream, a lot of specifically, I think Dr. Pepper, which again is probably a reflection of the Southern United States where they're still killing lots of.
That's right. That's right.
And that's a regional drink.
Can they have alcohol?
I don't think they can.
That is That does hurt me to my core a little bit.
Yeah.
What if someone just wants one last beer? Give them beer.
Let them go to the chamber or the chair drunk off their ass.
I would much prefer. Then I could get not back on board.
That's all that was keeping you back from the death penalty?
At least you'll have to get there wasted. But at least, yeah.
Let them vape a little bit. Let them have some fun.
Unbelievable. They should get an hour to do whatever they want to do.
Cruel and unusual. Get them some sunshine raspberries. And then a dumb game I've been playing is fuck, marry, kill.
Oh, okay, good.
Now, we have three, so that's a nice natural fit. Oh, yeah. So I'll do two rounds of this. Fuck, marry, kill, regular raspberries, organic raspberries, sunshine raspberries.
Okay. I definitely would fuck these hybrid, the sunshine raspberries. Yeah. Because when something exotic comes along, you should fuck it. Oh, God. And, you know, just because of inherently who I am as a person, even though the differences were so slight between the conventional, the taste, and the organic, I'm going to go organic to marry. And I will have to kill these beautiful, with no flaws, conventional raspberries. Yeah.
Hey, we got to make some hard choices when it comes to fuck, marry, kill.
Yeah.
Okay, so now speaking of hard choices, what if we expanded this? Fuck, marry, kill.
Okay.
Just raspberries in general.
Mm-hmm.
Blueberries in general.
Oh, my God.
And I'll say blackberries. You brought up blackberries earlier. Of the three non-strawberry most popular berries.
Okay.
Fuck, marry, kill.
I'm a blueberry freak.
Really?
Kind of. Because I put them in everything. Like... I make a smoothie, right? I like them in cereal. I like them in I used to eat when I had a real 9-to-5 job. I would eat oatmeal with blueberries, almonds every single day. I just love blueberries. I love blueberry pie. I love blueberries. I don't dislike raspberries. So I'm gonna go. Oh my God! I want to marry blueberries. Mm.
That's your day to day. You're putting them in everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely raspberries are very fuckable. Like, look at the little, they have already a crevice. I mean, I don't know what I'm going to do to the crevice, but, and then blackberries, I think they're so good. I think they're also like on the outer edges of, because they're very tart. And oftentimes I've had less than ideal ripeness blackberries where they're still too tart to be entirely enjoyable.
Okay.
What about you?
Those are great choices.
Oh, thank you for your validation.
And I love all three of those. I will say, especially the way you phrased it is interesting because when you think about blackberries, maybe one of the, and I really like blackberries. Mm-hmm. I like the tartness. I think they're great. But one of the big downsides of them, not as flexible, so to speak. You wouldn't think to put blackberries in an oatmeal or a yogurt.
Yeah.
You don't hear about blackberry pie very much.
Do you think
much.
That's because they're harder to get? Like to your point earlier about accessibility, would blackberries be in everything if we had more access a long time ago? Like, is it the...
Yeah, right? Maybe culturally we haven't really grown up with blackberries being as prevalent. I also think, like, We were talking a little bit about texture, and I mentioned, I think this was off mic, I mentioned that as a child, I didn't love the texture of raspberries because mm-hmm. there's a little seediness. They have the tiny little hairs.
Yeah.
As an adult, I think they're great. But like blackberries are even farther along that spectrum. Yeah. They have a very seedy, mm-hmm. weird little quality. They can have little hairs on them.
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff like that. But I would go, this can be controversial. Okay. I would go, fuck raspberries. I agree with you there. Thank They've you got so the crevice.
Much. Yep.
They're kind of sexual in nature. But I'm going to go, no, wait. I take that back.
Okay.
I'm going to fuck blackberries.
Okay.
Again, strong flavor. Mm-hmm. You don't want it every day. Much like you can't have sex every day.
God, no.
It's been and scientifically
if you
proven.
Are, keep it to your fucking self. Keep it to don't yourself. Email fruitful@gmail.com.
Certainly
don't at me.
don't email Colleen@sexquestions@fruitful@gmail.com.
It needs both those apps. I'm going to say it again.
I'm going to fuck blackberries. I'm going to marry raspberries. I might have to kill blueberries.
Wow. Amazing. Okay.
Only cool. because I had this discussion on a previous episode on the strawberries episode. I think blueberry as a flavor mm-hmm. is great.
Yeah.
I like a blueberry flavor. I think frozen blueberries thrown into a smoothie. Great. One of the best smoothie fruits.
Sure.
Raw, I don't always like them.
Wow.
It's so hard to get a good texture.
Yeah.
They're often kind of soft.
I think they have a really, really brief window
yes.
where they're like soft enough that they're enjoyable. And the same kind of thing, like I said, about blackberries, which is sometimes you just get a bunch, like one tart one or one hard yeah. one in the bunch, and you're like, oh, that was unpleasant.
Yeah.
And have you ever seen it with the skin off? You ever bite into one? It's like there's some yellow part, there's some yeah. inside part where it's very jarring.
They're weirdly not blue yeah, on the inside.
Yeah, it looks wrong. It looks really weird.
I mean, is that what Violet Beauregard looks like when you cut her open?
Oh, God. We may never know.
I hope
I guess at this point we won't know.
yeah.
The ship is passed.
I'll say... And I was going my fuck, marry, kill rankings based solely on eating whole raw.
Yeah.
I do think of all the berries, they're the best frozen. Because again, the size is nice. They mm-hmm. blend really nice because they don't have a lot of seedy,
yeah.
hard components. And their sweetness is really great. But I think, yeah, I think those are my rankings raw.
I did a 5-pound farm stand one time. Jason and I were driving through.
What's a 5-pound farm
stand? We were just driving like back from, I think it was like the 4th of July. We'd gone to like Michigan City, Indiana for the weekend. Driving back to Chicago, there was a roadside stand, and they had like a huge box of blueberries.
Oh, wow.
Like 5 pounds. And of course, this idiot was like, sold. And they were the best blueberries I've ever had. Oh. Like, I think because they were grown on a farm.
Yeah.
Grown, you know, like maybe organic, but maybe not, but local. And yeah, so I think it's also where we're getting them from and
yeah.
how much
their manipulation. Time, their time to get to us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like those strawberries you brought from the farmer's market, like they were probably came out of the ground yesterday.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Because they grow those like 100 miles away,
yeah.
you know? And like oftentimes like, yeah, on a Sunday, they probably came off on Saturday. And
yeah.
That's it. Yeah. And those blueberries you ate might've been that day even.
Yeah. Yeah. They were really good. You know, in that book, while we're talking about books,
Is it
Michael Pollan? Oh, maybe this was off.
He did the omnivore's dilemma.
Yeah, and he talks about like the difference between an egg that you buy at the grocery store and an egg that comes off of like a farm and you, yeah. you know what I mean? Like those small farms and the taste differential between those things. And I guess that's something that occasionally I think about when I shop at a farmer's market. Like I think tomatoes taste better from a farmer's market, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's so many things. And you know, it's like the give and the take of like our mass produced big commerce society with food. Mm-hmm. Like it's wonderful that you can get raspberries 12 months out of the year now.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's great. But of course, the ones you get in February have come 4,000 miles from central Chile or
that's
whatever
wild.
To get to you. And like, do they taste as great as like picked in June mm-hmm. local? No. But do they taste better than no raspberry at all? Well, probably yes. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that weird give and take. But then like us rediscovering just like the natural beauty of like a tomato straight out of the garden.
Yeah.
Is
a beefsteak. When I was a kid, my mom would plant. The only thing that we could really grow was tomatoes. And those were beautiful beefsteak. Oh, man. You put a little salt on there.
Oh.
You're donezos. That's it.
It's great.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Just a tomato sandwich.
Yes. Yeah.
Or that's the main thing. I forget. You're a vegetarian.
I try not to eat meat at all. I can be easily talked into, like, you have to try this or you have to try that. Mm.
All those, I mean, speaking of forbidden fruit, mm-hmm. for you, it's forbidden meat. You occasionally commit original sin and try absolutely. A little bit of the flesh.
Sometimes my hand is forced. I'm simply human.
Do you think, we were talking earlier about rewriting the Bible.
Mm-hmm. At length, yes.
Do you think at some point a meat lobby type person got in there? Maybe it was like a chicken cutlet was hanging from that branch.
Sure.
And Adam bit into that. And they're like, let's change it to a fruit.
Yeah, let's change it. This doesn't work for me.
We need to be encouraging meat consumption, not discouraging.
Not unlike the trolley here in L.A.
The car industry.
The cable car. Yeah. Uh-huh. You know what? Yeah, I'm going to say, I agree with you. It used to be a chicken, like a chicken piece in the tree. And we don't need to worry about how it got up there.
Hey, it was a Garden of Eden. There's all kinds of weird stuff.
Everything was happening. Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
Okay, great. Well, on that moment of perfect agreement, how fitting for two improvisers.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Colleen.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, it's me, Zach, back at the end of the episode. A few little follow-ups and fact checks. As of this recording, I still haven't tried a booze-filled watermelon, so that's still on my to-do list. Colleen mentioned ugly fruit or ugly produce. You know, look up the company Imperfect Produce. They're imperfectproduce.com. They offer like a subscription service where you can get kind of produce that wasn't attractive enough to sell in stores, but is cheaper and still delicious, and it's good for the environment, all that kind of stuff. And there's other companies like that, but I know that one operates in Los Angeles. And we mentioned a book. I think I guessed that it was Reefer Madness. I think I'm correct because that book by Eric Schlosser does talk about pornography, marijuana, and food picked by illegal immigrants. I read it many years ago and it was really good. I recommend it. And a little fact check, I hadn't done enough pre-research about raspberry cultivation before, so I did a little bit after the episode. Raspberry bushes, you know, they grow to 2 or 3 feet high and they kind of look like brambles or weedy bushes. They can be picked by machine or picked by hand. I think a lot of the California ones are picked by hand, but there's some great videos online of the machines they use to pick them. And they are very impressive because they look like big, scary, nasty tractors with all kinds of spiky things. But the way they go over these brambly bushes, like, doesn't even damage the leaves and obviously keeps the sensitive little fruits all a little perfect. I'll post that YouTube video on the Facebook page. Also, just real quick, Colleen has a very quick mention of a Papa John's pizza in this episode, and this was recorded before the very recent controversy with Papa John and that led to him being fired. We probably wouldn't have thrown out a quick reference without going into more detail about that or mocking him for his bigotry or whatever. And then just finally, there's a lot of talk about forbidden fruit in this episode, and it got me thinking, what was the fruit in the Garden of Eden there that tempted Adam into committing original sin? And you know what? Biblical scholars are still not sure. They don't think it was an apple. But I did find one great passage. It was on the website Quora.com from a biblical scholar talking about the fruit in the Garden of Good and Eden, or Garden of Eden, or whatever. I'm going to read that passage and then comment on it here, but let me just read directly from it. They were forbidden to eat the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. That good-evil kind of knowledge was not the same kind of practical knowledge they already had, which was to be responsible and effective husbandmen of the earth, to choose names for the plants and animals, and have knowledge of the love of God as he visited them each evening. The new and different state of the knowledge of good and evil meant that they would now have to make decisions on morals. It also meant that they would get to know evil intimately. They went from the freedom of innocence of a young child to the burden of moral responsibility. In that new state, they were responsible for any moral wrongdoing and thus guilty of transgressions should they fall short of God's standard. Now, that's an interesting passage. Of course, that's one person's interpretation of the Bible, and I'm now going to interpret that interpretation. But I kind of love that, right? Because in essence, that makes that symbolic fruit that Adam ate, it makes that fruit make us the deeply flawed and beautiful creatures we are today. It, like, that fruit gave us what we now know to be our humanity. And it doesn't stigmatize fruit, you know? If anything, that story raises fruit to its utmost importance to our humanity. At least that's how me, a pro-fruitist through and through, will choose to interpret it. So, you know what? I've done a 360. No, sorry, 180. 360 would be back where I started. I've done a 180. That story doesn't make fruit seem bad. That story makes fruit seem good. And speaking of fruit seeming good, thank you so much for listening to the episode or any episode of Fruitful. I hope you enjoyed it. Again, feel free to like the Facebook page, leave me a message there or at fruitfulpodcast@gmail.com. And most importantly, have a wonderful and fruitful week. Bye.